Okay, so let's get started here. We're holding on download on the day. Why did I turn it on? It's going to take a while, but, you know. Okay, so we're holding on download on the day four lines from the end of the narrow line, line of the masses, which is where we're holding. We started discussing like this. Rav had said that in the case of the Mincha Ka'orner, whose whole purpose is to be master you to be able to Tzkarash, if they did, the Knisser or one of the other Avodas, Shalai Lishma, then the whole thing is possible. Because once it's not fulfilling its purpose of being master Chodesh, then what's the purpose of it?
Any kind of
comment? No, not kind of comment. This is Rav, the Amora.
No.
Yeah. We didn't say it in the Mishnah. So we asked the Mishnah, didn't mention it, but we said, okay, the Mishnah may not have mentioned it because it's not a private person's carbon, it's a carbon that has a fixed time, it's a carbon that comes with it, a mincha that comes with something else. And Rav had also said, by the same logic, the Oshem Nazir and the Oshem Mitzvah, if they were shechted Shalai Lishman, same idea, they will be possible, Rav said, on the same ground, because their whole purpose is to be masher the person, to be able to eat carbonus or drink wine, as the case may be. Hello. So Rav had said, by the same logic, therefore, if... There is. It takes time for it to actually take effect. So Rav had said, by the same logic, if the Oshem Nazir, the Oshem Mesora, is shechted, Shalai Lishma, same thing. Because you have here a carbon whose purpose was to be matched to the person. And like this, it can't be matched to them because it wasn't done Lishma. So therefore, Rav would argue the same logic as the Mincha Ta'omer, the same logic he would say applies to the Oshem of the Nazir or the Oshem of the Mesora. And we said, the last thing we said in this connection was that there's a difference between a carbon that comes to be mechaper versus a carbon that comes to be machir. A carbon that comes to be mechaper, we can say, even if it's not able to accomplish the kapara itself, it's still a valid thing to bring it. As opposed to... So that's the thing. We said, for example, in the case of the two carbonists that a woman brings after she gives birth, one of them is coming to be machir her, to eat kodshim, the other one is coming to be mechaper, and we say the one that's coming to be mechaper, namely the oila, we see it can be brought even after she's dead, even though in kapara lamesim, even though the kapara is not really relevant for people who are dead, they're the carbon is an accomplished kapara for them, nevertheless the carbon can be brought, but achshara doesn't exist because the person's dead, and therefore we say the chatos is not brought. So we see that a carbon for kapara can be brought even though the carbon itself is not actually accomplishing that kapara, even though it was done Shalai Lishma. Same basic logic. We're holding on Dalit on the base, four lines. Dalit on the base, the line against Mastiff, nine lines from the bottom. Yeah. Not if you're looking in Zochin, you want to look in Menachos. Okay. Okay, so that's where we left off, this idea that there's a difference between a carbon that's meant to be machir versus a carbon that's meant to be machaper. Actually, I mean, this Shikha Mokubetis points out, he brings from Rabbanik Gershom, the issue, what we really just proved from that, we didn't so much prove that a carbon that can, we didn't so much prove that a carbon that's meant to be machir, the person, can't be brought lach amesa, because after all, we're talking about chathos over here, and there's a special reason it can't be brought, because it's a chathos amesa, so chathos is owner's eyes, one of the five chathos amesa. However, the point is, at least we do see the oila can be brought after the person died, meaning to say, in other words, at least we've proved that the carbon that's meant to be machaper can be brought even though no kapara is being done. So therefore, by the same logic, Rav can be saying, therefore, that a carbon that has a purpose to be machaper, then that's why it's kosher if it's Shalai Lishma, even though it's not actually accomplishing the kapara, nevertheless, it's still valid to bring. Okay, so now, mas kiflar of Yehuda Berezer Trim Nimpazi, are you telling me that there's no carbon that's machshir a person that can ever be brought after the person died? I will show you an example of a carbon that's machshir a person, in this case, to be able to finish his nizir, and it can be brought la'acham yitza. So therefore, what kind of a distinction are you making between a carbon that's to be machaper versus one that's to be machshir? Well, that's none. Namely, you learn a Mishnah in Nazir. We learned that the Nazir, actually, the Mishnah itself is a Ne'ilah. Hamakish Mois Lemezuzah. So if somebody sets aside money for his karbonas of nazirus. Now we know the nazir at the end of his nazirus is going to be bringing three karbonas. He's going to be bringing a oila, a shlamim, and an osham. Sorry, not an osham. He's going to be bringing rather an oila, a shlamim, and a chatas. Right. No. This is by nazir. By nazir, they're all animals. By nazir, there's nothing. There's no cheaper option if he can't afford it. He just has to raise the money.
Yeah,
so. Well, there is that, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. Come on. I'm a third. They have the option. Right. Okay. Anyway, so if somebody set aside his money for his karbanos of nazir. And you're not allowed to have hanah from that money because it is meant for karbanos. On the other hand, if you do, then the dinu and the ilah do not apply. Because conceivably, all that money could be used for a shlomim and a shlomim. Because after all, he didn't specifically say this money is for the chasas, this money is for the oilah, this money is for the shlomim. Therefore, it could conceivably all be used for a shlomim. And shlomim me'ilah doesn't apply to you. It only applies to me'ilah only applies to the shlomim, only to the emurim after the korban is shechted. So before there's no me'ilah, because eventually, because me'ilah doesn't apply to something where you can have enough from, and eventually shlomim you're going to have enough from it. You're going to have the meat. So there, in that sense, it's considered lom and bayim. Okay. So loynen, you're not allowed to have hanah, but on the other hand, loy moylin, if you did have hanah, then you haven't committed me'ilah. Next,
yes.
You haven't. That's what I'm saying. Next, then the Mishnah continues. Next, suppose now this person died, beholah moistuman, and now he had money that was unspecified. He hadn't specifically said this is for the chatas, this is for the oila, etc. Fine. It was designated in general for his karbanos naziris, but without specifying what for what. But fine. You pull in the nadava. We put it all into one of the nadava boxes, as we said the other day. They use it to buy kais and azbeach. They use it to buy karbanos. Karbanos for flat season. Kais literally means it means actually dried figs because they eat them for dessert. Right. Okay. Mifurashin. What's that? Dalit on the base. Mifurashin. We're on the first line of the wide line. Mifurashin. If the money was specified, he had actually said this particular bit of money is for the chatas and this is for the oila, etc. Then may chatas yerlik the Yamamelach. The money for the chatas has to be thrown into the Yamamelach because, as usual, with money of a chatas that can, as usual with a chatas, the money of a chatas that can't be offered, it goes to the Yamamelach. It's also by Anah. But loynen and loymoylen, you're not allowed to have Anah from it. But if you did, you haven't committed Me'ilah because again, it's like a chatas shemay tibaleh. So the Jabonin you're not allowed to have Anah, but Me'ilah doesn't apply to it. The money that was designated for an oila, fine, you go ahead and bring an oila with it, which is that's what we're bringing in over here. And the ila would apply to it, like the money of any oila. Now remember, the person is dead. And what about the money that he left over that was designated for a shlomim? So then, yavi behen shlomim, you still use them to bring a shlomim, because a shlomim can be brought voluntarily. However, this shlomim would have the din of a shlomim of a nazir. In that regular shlomim, you have 2 days and one night. But the shlomim of a nazir, you only have 1 day and one night. So here it follows those rules. Even though the person's dead, nevertheless, it was meant to be used for a shlomim. Therefore, it's only 1 day and one night. The ain't shonim lechem. However, you don't bring the bread, usually with the kovanas of a nazir, usually with the shlomim of a nazir, you bring 20 loaves of bread. Here you don't. Rashi says the reason is because ultimately what you're supposed to do is you take one of each type of the bread plus some parts of the carbon and you put them on the hands of the nazir and the kohen and the nazir wave them together and here the nazir is dead. There's no kafei on nazir, therefore no bread is needed. The point is now the oila shlomim the nazir the machshir aminu. Now the oila and the shlomim of the nazir are part of what make it. That he's going to be, if it's makshir, they are among the things that are going to be makshir him to be able to drink wine and then cut his hair and so forth. And yet he's dead exactly, but also I miss them. You still see they come after he's dead. That's where the Huda Brejid of Shimon and Pazi's point. you're telling me before reviewing me that there's a distinction between Max Schuurman and McCaffrey, and on that basis we have that distinction, but here we see an example of a Max Schuurman, a good athlete, yes. Yes, but Rapapa says, you have to fix up slightly what Rabiumia says. What it is when he says that you don't find a carbon that's a hechsher, what he meant by that was, we have to modify that he meant that it's kavua. There's nothing else that is machshu the owner. You only have that one carbon in the case, for example, of a yeladis, in the case of a woman who gave birth, only the chassas is going to be machshu. So the oila does not accomplish anything as far as being machshu who to eat carbon. Only the chassas does. Same thing by the Oshem Nazir and the Oshem Masura that we were talking about before. Those are the essential things. Without them, he's not Moshe. Whereas over here, one second. Udin Nazir Hechsher Shein Kavur. Over here, by the Nazir, on the other hand, it's true, there are three Kavanas to be brought. But the Ola and the Shlomim, it's true, they participate in the process of being Machshirim, but they're not Kavua in the sense that they're the only thing. The Amamar, because in fact, we learn in a Braisa, that if he were to do his shaving and the other parts of the end of his nazirut over one of the three karbonis, then he's yotzer. It is true, Tosfos mentions that the rabbanon hold that he's still, that in order to drink wine he has to bring a chatas, but at least as far as shaving his head, which is part of the end of his nazirut, that if he did in connection with any one of the three karbonis, he's yotzer. So we can't say, therefore, that any one of these three karbonis is itself the machshir. Each one of them individually can be the machshir. Therefore, we can't say that, therefore, the Yumi's rule doesn't apply. He's talking about a machshir where it's the exclusive machshir. None of these three karbonos is the exclusive machshir, because any one of them can do the job. Therefore, you can say that two of them can be brought after he died, and only a chassas, because a chassas has special rules, then therefore you don't bring after he died. But that doesn't contradict the Yumi's rule. No, in other words, the point is any one of the three of them alone brings Hashara. So therefore, we can't say, so therefore none of them is exclusive. The Oshem Masura, without that, he doesn't have his Hashara, and he's not allowed to eat Kodshim or enter the Beit Mikdash. The Chassos of a Yeledah, same thing.
Well, that's the strongest
thing. No, but that's the point, in other words.
Three of them are not Hashara.
But any one of the three of them. So therefore, we can say any one of the three of them can be brought, because effectively, you could say, okay, so the other one is a machshir. Yeah, so therefore, so that doesn't contradict Rabbi Yirmiyah's rule. Rabbi Yirmiyah's rule, to explain Rav, is to say when you have the exclusive machshir, you cannot bring it back on the none of these is the exclusive machshir.
Well, you could say that
both. You could, but you can't, but it's not, because they're not exclusive, because any one of them. Yeah, meaning exclusive is that only this one will be machshir him, nothing else. Here, if the oil is not machshir him, the shlomim could be machshir him, and instead, if neither one of those, then the chassas, etc. Okay. Maybe the Gemara says, okay, fine. So far we have the basis for what Rav is saying about the minchas ta'omer and about these various ashramas, that where they're not accomplishing their purpose, then they're possible. However, the Gemara says, maybe I have a contradiction. A braisa says, Oshem Mitzorda Shemishat Shaloy Lashmoy, if Oshem Mitzorda was shechted Shaloy Lashmoy, Oy Shaloy Nisan Midomay Agave Behonet, or if you didn't put some of the blood of it on the thumb, actually Behonet means the thumb and the big toe, and also part of his ear, where there's three places on the third of the body where the blood is placed. Harez Oyla the Gabe Mizbeach, so fine, it's a kosher Tobin, it goes on the Mizbeach, the tone in the sakin, it still requires the sakin, just like a real Oshem Mitzvah. The Tzorech Oshem Acher Lachshir, but he still needs another Oshem in order to make him Mokshir to be able to enter the Beit Mikdash so he kodshin. So there you clearly see, now Rav was saying this Oshem should be possible because it's not accomplishing anything. This bride tells us it's kosher, just that it's not, doesn't count for his choice. That didn't accomplish anything, but Rav had said, therefore, because it's not accomplishing anything, because it's not matching anything, it should be possible. And our bright is telling us that it's kosher. Ashira, fine. But the point is that the Oshem itself, the first Oshem that was Shalom Lishmai, is kosher. Not like Rav said. Right, but that's the point. We said before there's a difference between one that's exclusive and one that's not, but here we see that even though it's the exclusive matcher, but it's Shalom Lishmoy, but it's not accomplishing anything, it's not being matched or anything, nevertheless, the korban is kosher. I read the oil of the gabim is there, the Torah and the Sokhan said. Whereas Rav said it would be possible outright. Tiyufta de Rav. So we have a contradiction of Rav. We have a contradiction against Rav. And that's it. It is a contradiction, Tiyufta. So that's it. We've slogged up Rav. Now, Tosfos says, what happened to Rav Tana who Poli? What happens to, we know in a few places that Tosfos says that Rav was Tana, and he's able to argue with Brises. But Tosfos just says, okay, the Gemara could have said that, but it didn't. The Yad Malachi says a very interesting idea based on something that Rishonim say in a somewhat different context. When do we say Rav Tana who Poli? He says, when we know for a fact that Rav knew of that Brises, and then nevertheless does something different, fine. He's knowingly contradicting the Brisa. Okay, he's a Tana, he has the right to. But over here, the Gemara knew that Rav himself was not aware of this Brisa. If he had been aware of it, he would not necessarily have said what he said. Therefore, we have no reason to say that he's a Tana and he can argue against it, because he might well have said, if he had known of this Brisa, okay, that's it. Well, then that's what the Brisa says.
Yes.
That's how the Yad Malachi learns, on the basis that we find in other places in Shas, similar things that we find in other places in Shas, where an Amorda will say, for example, that what I'm saying is only according to such and such a Tana. That was a similar idea. In other words, that he thought he was talking according to everybody. Then they brought a Brisa, which shows that it's actually a subject of a machloket. So he'll say, okay, but let's pray. He'll say that I'm saying it only according to one Tana. Whereas if he'd known in the first place, he might have said differently. So here's the same thing. Okay, fine. So all that was opinion number one on this subject. Opinion number two, for Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Rish Lakish says differently. Mincha ta'omer shakom to shaloi lishma. If you took the komet from mincha ta'omer shaloi lishma, kshera. It is kosher. So not like Rav had said that it's possible. Rish Lakish would say it is kosher. However, ushyareh in ne'achol and ashtovim mincha ta'omer acher. However, in order for the Kohenim to eat the Shirayim of it, as they usually would, that they can't do until you bring another Minchas HaOmer, the Tatirena, which then will be Maser, the original one. Because we have to consider, again, Chodosh is Osir until the Korban HaOmer is brought. The Korban HaOmer itself, obviously, is Chodosh. It has to be from this year's crop. So therefore, what Rish Lakish is saying is, if the Korban HaOmer itself was fossil, because Shaloi Lishma, very well, it's like any other korban, it's like most korban, it's kosher, like most menachas, it's kosher shalei lishma. However, it's still chadash, and you haven't had anything to be master of the chadash yet. Therefore, you need another korban omer in order to be master. The part in parenthesis over here, Shashira, in the Chol HaShatavim in Chasa Omer Acheres, the Birkas HaZevach points out that this, and he says in a lot of places in this Masechta, you have things over there that are not part of the original text of the Gemara, but apparently somebody wrote it as marginal notes on his copy of the Gemara, and then they accidentally got put in to the text of the Gemara. We have that in a lot of places in Shas, but apparently the Birkas HaZevach says we have more than the usual number of them here in Menachem. So anytime we have it in parenthesis like that, that's basically what it is. It's one of these marginal notes, and he says in some cases you can even demonstrate that they're wrong. Okay. Anyway.
What
is the parenthesis? It starts with the word Shashira. Yeah, the line over there, Shashira, in Nechon, as you told me, Minchasa. So that is, somebody wrote over there for a note for himself that you should know. That's how it is. You can't use the Shirayan. Sure, you have another Minchasa Omer, but it wasn't part of the original text of the Gemara. Okay. So the question then becomes, okay, so So what is Rish Lakish saying, in other words? This mincha is kosher. However, you can't eat it because it's still chadash. Well, then we have a problem. Mikra, heichi korba. Then how are you bringing it as a korban in the first place? Mimashvi Yisrael, minamutar Yisrael. We have a general rule as far as korbanos based on a pasuk in Yechezkel, which says about korbanos. It's called the mimashvi Yisrael. Literally, mimashvi Yisrael means from what the Jewish people can drink. Some of us would say it means like from the good quality stuff that the Jewish people offer or whatever, but we learned from it a concept that any korban is kosher only if it's something that we Jewish people are able to eat, only if it's something that's kosher. Now over here, this is chadash, it's also to eat until the korban omer is brought. So how are we saying that you're able to bring this as a valid mincha, except that then you need another one in order to be master the shirayim? It's still osur. It should still be osur under mimashke Yisrael. Now, so, I mean, the Chidushim HaMiyuchas and Marash will point out, I mean, you could ask the same question about the Kohimus of a regular Korban Omer itself. How are you taking the Kemitza from it and offering it on the Mizbeach? And he answers, because, okay, there you have the the heter of it and the burning of it on the Mizbeach happen at the same moment. The moment it's put on the Mizbeach, two things happen. Number one, you're offering that Tomet. And number two, Chadosh becomes Mutter. So fine, the two things happen simultaneously, so that's okay. But here, we're not talking about that. Here, we're talking about a Korban, which is kosher, but it's not accomplishing anything as far as Chadosh. So at the point that you're taking until another Omer is brought, until another Korban Omer is brought, so meanwhile, this one, you're going to be taking the Tomet from it and burning it on the Mizbeach. What happened to me, Mashti Yisrael? So off the seat.
The second Korban will be what?
The second, you know, whatever, it'll be the same thing. It'll be an Omer, yeah, of course it'll be. So it'll be made out of barley flour, same as the first one. Yeah, it'll all be Kaddosh. It'll all be from the new crop of this year. That's the whole idea. So the only difference is, normally, we'll learn later in the Masechta that you're supposed to harvest it the night before. They harvest it the first Masa Yom Tov, then the night after the first day of Pesach. So like this, if the first one became possible, okay, they can't do that. And the less spirit, they have to go right then and there and then harvest some more barley and prepare it on the spot.
Offer the second one before the first one?
Why would you offer the second one before the first one?
No.
So what we're saying is that he took the kohenet from the first one, Shaloi Lishma.
Right.
What we're saying is that you still go ahead, you still put that kohenet on his back, you still continue doing with it exactly as you would it with a kosher kohen owner. The only thing is the kohen can't eat the shirayim until another one is brought. So yeah, that's it. So that, even though it's Shaloi Lishma, even though it's the kohen owner, that's what we're talking about. And it's Shaloi Lishma. So unlike Rav, who has said that it's possible because it's not accomplishing anything, Rish Lakish says it is kosher, even though it's not accomplishing anything. However, if the Kohen want to eat the Shirayim, but it's still Chadosh, it's still also tea, until you have a Kohen Omer to your Masha. No, it is. It's kosher. Just it's kosher. That's what we're saying. But the Kohen can't eat it yet. But that's what we just said. But the question is, why should it be kosher if it's still also to eat? What about the rule of Mashki Yisrael? The first one, at the point when you're going to put that kohenet on the mizbeach, it's still also to eat. Because Chadosh is still also at that point.
Right. Can you say that the second one will be changed? If it's done Lishma, it will also turn the first one into
Lishma. No, it won't turn the first one into Lishma, for sure not. But, Omer of Adab Ava, Kasavar Ishlokish, Ein Machutas Man, Laboiba Yoy. Ishlokish holds that there's no such thing as mechusar's man, where still the time, it's not the time yet, where it's all on the same day. Later today, it is going to become mutter for yid to eat as soon as you bring the second one. Therefore, you can't say, if it was, for example, that it's possible today, that's not possible, that it's also to eat today, and then tomorrow it's going to become mutter to eat, fine, Mimashka Yisrael would prevent us from offering it today. But because you have today, part of the day it's Osir, and later in the day it's going to become Mutter. As soon as they're mastered the second one, Rish Lakish holds that's not a problem. That's not an issue with Mimash Yisrael. We don't call that it's Osir to eat. Not permanent. It just has to be for that day, for that whole day.
Yeah.
Mimash Yisrael means that it has to be Mutter to eat. But Rish Lakish is saying, even if temporarily, for the next couple of hours, it's Osir to eat, that's fine. That's not that doesn't violate the rule of Mimash Yisrael, right? Most of Rav Abba Brezer Yitzchok, okay, so Rav Abba Brezer Yitzchok asks on that. I can give you an example. So you're telling me Rish Lakish is holding Ein Mechutas Man L'Boi B'Yom, meaning, in other words, effectively, that we're saying, yes, this is also, but because it's going to be Mutter later today, then we're allowing it. But we learn in a Braisa like this. Yesh V'Ofis She'ein B'Menachas, Yesh V'Menachas She'ein B'Ofis. You have certain criteria that apply to bird korbanos that don't apply to a korban mincha, and you have other details that apply to a korban mincha that are special to them and not to birds. Namely, yesh ba'ofis, you have something special as far as birds because ba'ofis boim minidva shnayim, because for one thing, when it comes to a bird korban, you can have two people be menadev a bird together. Unlike with a mincha, we're going to learn later on in the Sefta that when it comes to a mincha, you can't. The Pasuk says the Pasuk says about a mincha, the nefesh kisakri korban mincha, implying that only one person can bring a korban mincha. You can't have two people bringing it in partnership. You want menachas, not zochin. Further on, so two people together can bring one bird in partnership, but two people cannot bring a mincha together in partnership. So there's an advantage in birds over menachas. And again, we have parenthesis over here, our menachos nefesh siva, by menachos, the pasuk uses the word nefesh, implying that, so that, that only one person can bring it. And another difference, another difference is that all mechusrei kapara, which in parenthesis zava yeladah from the Torah, all of them bring birds, all of them are able to bring birds for their kapara. Some of them is always birds. Some of them, it's in the case of a yeladah, it's a bird and an animal if she can afford it, and two birds if she can't. In the case of the Mithra, also it's birds if he can't afford it, and animals if he can. But all of them are able to bring birds, as opposed to none of them are bringing a mincha. Some of them have nisachim as part of their kavanah to Mithra in particular, but they're not bringing a freestanding mincha. Vehutru miklal isuran makodesh. And another advantage you have in birds over menachos is with birds, you have something which normally would be osur, but here, when it comes to kodshim, it's mutter. Namely, how are birds killed for a korban? Melika. And melika would normally make the bird an avela if it was done for anything other than a korban. That's why we said we have cases in Zvachim where, for whatever reason, something went wrong with the melika, and therefore it's also for the kohen to eat, because it's an avela. As opposed to by menachos, you never find an example, and that's the reason why we're bringing this in, because we're going to argue that on the face of it, based on what we just said, according to Rish Lakish, you do have an example, but for the moment, what I said telling us, there's no example with a mincha where you're being master something that normally would be offered. Mashenkin v'menachos. So as opposed to none of these things apply to a mincha. Two people can't bring a mincha together. Mechusrei kapara don't bring menachos. And a mincha, you never have any exception where we're saying that normally something would be offer and here would be matir for the sake of kodesh. On the other hand, the yesh for menachos, on the other hand, we have certain advantages to a mincha over a bird. Sha menachos tonis kli. Number one, a mincha requires a keli, because you have to put it in a kli shoreh, as we learned before, and we'll learn later on. Whereas when it comes to birds, you don't use a keli, the kohen does malika with his own fingernail. With a bird, we said he spritzes it directly from the body of the bird. And actually, that Tosfos brings up that point. If we're talking about the fact that birds require malika, whereas a mincha requires a keli, adrabah, you could argue that's a kula in a mincha, not a kumra. That's a kula in a mincha that you can use a keli, and you don't see the kohen doesn't have to hold it in his hand, whereas with a bird, he has to do it with his own hand. So Tosfos learns differently. What we mean is, when it comes to a mincha, it has to be placed in a kli shoreh, and the kohen has to be placed in another kli shoreh in order to be mekadesh it. Whereas when it comes to a bird, you don't need a kli shoreh at all. Not only the melika is done with the kohen's own fingernail, but the blood itself is taken over to the mizbeach in the neck of the bird, and then stripped or pressed or whatever against the mizbeach. A kli shoreh, like any other kli shoreh that they have in the Beit HaMikdash. It's a bowl, a basin, whatever. Yeah. Why would a fingernail be tummy? Oh, well, once you cut him off, yeah, he was talking about attached to his body. Good. But, it's not so much that nails are tummy, per se. There's a ruach raw on them. And we'll learn about it eventually when we get to the second nida, a year and some from now. We'll learn about it best to Shem. There's a ruach raw on them. But that's after they're cut. You were talking about while they're still attached to the body, because that's how the kohen does malika. But good. To be able to cut through the bird's neck, yeah. Okay. Anyway. Okay, so then continues the braisa. So again, a mincha requires a keli, whereas a bird doesn't. Uchnufa, a mincha requires it has to be waved, there'll be certain menachas, whereas a bird doesn't. Vagosha, a mincha, you have to take the keli containing the mincha and touch it to the corner of the mizbeach, whereas a bird you don't. The yeshna and the tzibur of the yachid, menachas are brought by the tzibur as well as by the yachid. Namely, you have the mincha ta'omer, and you have the shtei alechem and the lechem atonim are a type of mincha as well, and all those are brought by the tzibur, whereas tzibur never brings bird korbanos. All bird korbanos are brought only by private people. Okay, so thus far the bride. No, by anybody. I mean, the melech has to be done by the kohen, but any person can bring a bird as a korban. You can have a person can bring a bird voluntarily as an ola, or you have the various cases of mechusrei kapara where you have to bring a bird for an ola and or a bird for a chatas. But yeah. whereas the tzibur never brings Beruza Sarban. Okay. Thus far the Braisa, but now the point is, Rav Abba Brej, Rav Yitzchak is asking, now you're telling me, the Shlokish is saying before, in connection with the Korban HaOmer, he's saying, Ein Mechut is Man L'Boi V'Yayim, that even though, yes, it's true, right now, this first Omer that was done for Lo L'Shma is not able to be eaten yet, it's not yet Mimashka Yisrael, it's not yet something that Jews can eat, nevertheless, it's okay, because later today it will be, once they bring a second Omer L'Shma. But if you're going to tell me, that, then I do have an example involving a mincha. We said in the Braisa that there's an advantage of birds over a mincha, in that a bird you're being master is something that's normally author, namely a bird that was killed by Malika, whereas by Menachas you have no such thing. According to what we're saying, according to what we're explaining Rish Lakish, then it comes out that you do have an exception by Menachas as well. Namely the mincha ta'omer. In other words, again, that we're saying that you're able to be makhiv this first one, even though it's chadosh, and it should be also to eat, and also to be makhiv yet, but we're allowing it because ein mechus is man l'boi, because later today it will become mutter. So then in that case, we have a case where you're allowed to be makhiv something which is also, where you have an exception. The answer is, the Gemara says that's not a big deal, because given the ein mechus is man l'boi, since we're saying, the Shlokish is saying that when it's all on the same day, it's not really considered Mechotu's man, then essentially it's not really Lavi Surah. You can't really call it at this point that it's also.
The next day would be,
let's say, if it was like that. It's as if, for this purpose, we consider as if the other Minchas Omer was already booked. So fine, as far as the Kohenim eating from it, you can't say as if you have to wait until the second Minchas Omer is actually booked. And then the Kohenim can eat the Shidayim of the first one and the second one, for that matter. But as far as being master of this, no, we can't really say that we're making an exception over there and allowing something that's author. It's not really author in essence. Most of Rav Sheshet, however, Rav Sheshet says here, I have another contradiction to this idea of any Mechus is Man L'Bavim. Well, that's so far, no. But most of Rav Sheshet, but Rav Sheshet points out, I have a contradiction. Now when it comes to a Mitzvah, you have like this. So the Mitzvah, we said at the top of the Amud that with the Mitzvah, you take the blood of it, the Torah takes the blood of his Asham, and he puts some of it on the Mitzvah's ear, thumb, and toe. Afterwards, what happens is, now along with his korbanos, the Masoda has to bring a log of oil. The Kohen does like this with the oil. He pours some of it into his hand. He dips his finger in and sprinkles from it seven times in the direction of the hekel. Then he dips in his finger and again applies some of it to the Masoda's ear and to his thumb and to his toe. He takes the rest of it and takes the rest of what's in his hand and puts it on the Masoda's head. And then that's it. Then the rest of the oil, whatever's left in the container, is for the Kohenim. It's one of the 24 Matnas Kohuna. The Kohenim can eat it to mix it with their food or whatever, like anything else. So, Rav Sheshet says like this. We have a braisa that says, Hikdim Matan Shemen Matan Dam. So now what happens, again, it's supposed to be that first you apply the blood of the Asham. Afterwards, you apply the oil from the Lord to those same spots on the Masoda's body. What if he did the other way around? What if he did the oil first and then the blood? Yimalenu shemen. So now what you have to do is you have to refill the container of oil, because it has to be a whole lug when you're starting out. And like this, the original applications of oil to the Masoda are no good because they were done out of order. So therefore you have to refill it, so you have one full lug over there to start with. And then the yachtavi is in shemen, achamatan dam. Then fine, once it's refilled, then you do the matan dam is already done. Now he does again. He takes the refilled load of oil and pours it into his hand and starts the oil process all that, and then starts the oil process again. What about where are we? Matan bahonis lamatan sheva. What happens if he puts the oil on the Masoda's ear, thumb, and toe before he did the seven sprinklings. Same idea. Yimalanu shemen. You have to refill the container with oil, because again, now it's missing because... What? Bohenes literally means thumb, but in Hebrew, the word bohen is used for the largest digit on your hand or your foot. It's not in English. We have the word thumb and we have the word big toe. In Hebrew, you would use the word bohen for both of them. The largest, right, the largest, the thickest, yeah. The thumb and the big toe, respectively. And also the ear, which we were just using the word behind us in the general sense. Anyway, the point is, so if he, so again, if he did the matan bahonis, the application to the ear, thumb, and toe before the seventh sprinkling, same idea, you malenu shemen, you refill it with oil, because you have to start out with a complete mug, the yachtavi, it's a matan bahonis, acha matan zayin. And then again, what you do is, you do the seventh sprinkling, and then you do the matan bahonis, because you have to do it in order. Now, the point is, Rav Sheshet is saying, the e amos ein mechutuz man lebeva yoyim. If you, Rav Shlokesh, are telling me that's not a problem of mechutuz man, if anyway later that same day it's going to be corrected, then I'm my yachtavit. And why should he have to do, why should he have to do the applications of oil again? Why should he have to refill it and do it again? My da'obad obad. Let's say, so for example, in the first case, let's say he did the, he put the oil before the blood. So what? Afterwards, he puts the blood. We should consider ein mechutuz man lebeva yoyim. At that point, we consider as if the oil was put in its proper time after the blood. So the fact that we don't say that seems to say we don't say ein mechutuz man lebeva yoyim. We take each thing as it comes. In that case, we're back to the question: how are you being mastery of the korban omer if it's not being mastery with Joel? You're not allowed to eat it yet until you have another korban omer. The answer is omer apapa shiny sochus mitzvada. Fine, but it's different when it comes to the halacha. So when the mitzvada yichtivu hu havaya. By the mitzvah, when the Torah starts talking about the whole procedure, what you have to do with the mitzvah, it uses the expression havaya. The pasuk says, this shall be the Torah of the mitzvah, which means, tia bahava yasa tehei. The word tia means it has to be exactly as it's stated. So exactly in the seder that it says in the pasuk. Whereas when it comes to a possible omer versus a kosher omer, we don't have any key over there that we should study. So that's the difference. And with Biden, the third, everything has to be done exactly in order. So it's not a question of mechutuz man or not. The problem is you did things out of order. With the korban omer, you don't have that issue. Okay. Fine. But now, mosiv rapapa. Havaya means being. It means being. It means that it has to be in the exact order that was stated. Masiv Rapapa. So Rapapa says, okay, but here I have another example, again involving a Masurah. Hiktiv Chatzase LaShomai. Now we have a Masurah, again, bringing three korbanos at the end of his tarah, he's bringing Ola, a Chatzase, and an Hashem. So the Brayta says, Hiktiv Chatzase LaShomai. Suppose that they shechted his Chatzase before his Hashem, where it was supposed to be the other way around. Lo ye acher maris v'dama. You don't say, well, okay, we'll have somebody sit there stirring the blood of the chatas to prevent it from congealing. Meanwhile, we'll go and do the avodah of the asham, and then we'll come back and sprinkle the blood of the chatas so that it'll be done in the proper order. Note, that doesn't work. Ela t'ubur t'rosa. Rather, what we have to do with that chatas is we have to do ibur t'ura, which is ibur t'ura literally means letting its appearance change. So Rashi explains over here, and in some other places, Rashi also explains similarly, what it means is you have to leave it overnight. You have to leave it overnight. First of all, it becomes possible by linna, but second of all, it also looks different. It doesn't look as juicy as anymore. So that's what we mean, tavos terasa. And the reason, we have a general concept when it comes to kodshim, that there's a difference. We know we learned in Zvachim that kodshim that are possible have to be burnt, but there's a difference what kind of psul it was. If it's a psul begufa, a psul in the actual korban itself, versus a psul in something else. If the psul was in the actual korban itself, then you can take it and burn it right there on the spot. You don't have to wait for anything else. But if it's a psul because of something else, then you need ibur tzura first. You have to first leave it overnight until like Rashi says, so its appearance changes until it becomes possible with lina.
You can't say
the psul to the tzura. No, it's not wrong. I'm going to say the tzura. So to over surah, so the surah has to, the surah of that chatas has to change, and we have to leave it overnight, the case of the beta sefer, and then you take it out to be burnt. Now again, the point is, here you have a case of mechutuz man lebeva yoyim, because what are you telling me? They shechted his chatas before his asham, where it was supposed to be the other way around, and we're saying, if we said ein mechutuz man lebeva yoyim, like the shlokesh has said before, so what's the problem? Later on, the asham is going to be brought, then it'll be time to bring the chatas, so it's okay. Even if the chatas was shechted earlier, it's considered as if it was done in time. But we see not like that, because we see that the chatas is possible. What do you mean? What does Rapapa ask about? He himself brought the pasuk, those see a third of a third. You know we're talking about the korbanos and a third over here. What's Rapapa even thinking that? Now, El Rapapa Hoki Kokashla. Fine, but Rapapa's problem is as follows. Ema Hani Mili Avoida. Says Rav Papa, fine. You could argue that when the Torah says go see a Torah from a Torah, that everything has to be done exactly in order, that's referring to things that are Avoida. Shchita, lav Avoida here, as opposed to Shchita, we've learned many times before, is not really an Avoida, in the sense, for example, that a Zor can do it, right? Tosfos brings other explanations, including one of them that it's not an avoida, in the sense that it's this kind of thing that it's done exactly the same when it comes to cholin versus when it comes to kodshin. So therefore, you can't really call it an avoida, as opposed to, for example, Kabbalah, Halacha, or whatever, are done only by kodshin. Tosfos goes on to give a couple of other explanations what exactly we mean that shchita is not an avoida. Be that as it may, the proper is thinking, therefore, you should argue shchita is not an avoida. So what if you shechted the pasas before the asher? That shouldn't be covered under zoyski aseret amasara. The e a mechusas man lebeibayim. So if you're telling me, like the Shlokish says, that there's no mechusas man if it's all on the same day, so what's the problem? You hear achem amaris b'dama. True. Okay, you can't sprinkle the blood of the chassas before the asham because they're already you'd be falling into zoyski aseret amasara. But fine, that's the point. The sprinkling is an avoda, right? So therefore, it would be covered under zoyski aseret amasara. But the shchita is not. So fine, yehayachem amaris v'dama. You should be able to have somebody sit there and stir it, the liquor of asham, and then offer the asham the liquor of chassas, and then offer the chassas. Based on that, we have a strong question on Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish is saying, we're saying that Rish Lakish holds a mechotz man l'bevayayim. Based on what we just said over here, it seems that yesh mechotz man l'bevayayim. Otherwise, why is the chassas possible? So no, never mind that whole thing about a mechotz man l'bevayayim. We need a new answer. Now Rish Lakish himself, remember, didn't specify why it's kosher. We asked on Rish Lakish, How could that first Omer be kosher if you have the rule of Mimashka Yisrael? And he answered, Ein Mechotzes Man L'Bevayim. Now that we can't use that, we have to find a new way of answering what Rish Lakish is saying. That he said that the first Omer is a kosher carbon. So what happened to Mimashka Yisrael? Ela, Omer Rapapa, Heiner Timer to Rish Lakish. No, Rapapa says, never mind that. The reason why Rish Lakish is saying that the first Omer that was done Shaloi Lishma, the reason why it's kosher, and why we said, fine, the only thing is the Kohenim can't eat the Shiraim of it yet, but the Kohenim itself can be offered on the Mizbeach, the reason is, because, Heiner's time is Rish Lakish's reason is, the Kasabra Heir Nizrach Mandu, because Rish Lakish holds that actually, as soon as it becomes daylight, on the morning of Tzayin Nisan, Chodosh is already moved. So therefore, there's no issue of Mimashka Yisrael because you are already able to eat it. Because we find that both Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish say, never mind nowadays when there's no Omer, they say even nowadays when the Beit Mikdash is standing, as soon as it gets light in the east on the 16th of Nisan, then Chodesh is Mutter at that point. Therefore, so there's no issue of Mimashki Yisrael. The Korban is the is actually Mutter to be eaten at that point, even before the Omer is brought. No, so we're talking about on the same day. We're talking about on the 16th of Nisan itself. You're supposed to bring the Korban to Omer, and until you bring the Korban to Omer, you're not allowed to bring Korbanos from Chodesh, and you're not supposed to be eating Chodesh. But Rabbi Yochanan and the Shlokish are saying, actually, at that once the morning of the now it's like this. The pasuk says like this: the lechem v'koli v'chama loyser. So you're not allowed to eat bread or toasted grain or fresh grain from Chodesh, from the new year's crop, ad etzem hayom hazeh, until the etzem of this day, and then it continues ad aviyachem es korban alekeich. I'm sure you bring the korban. So ad etzem hayom hazeh, Rashi explains, means when the day first breaks. Rashi brings from the Targum of etzem hayom hazeh is b'chran yoyma. Chran, Rashi explains, means the appearance. So as soon as you have the appearance of day, as soon as the sun appears over the horizon, now the pasuk continues ad aviyachem es korban lekeichem until the korban is brought. So Rashi brings from the Gemara that we're going to have later on in our Masechta, you still have the proper way of doing is that you're supposed to wait with eating kadosh until the korban is brought. But technically, you could eat it, says Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, from when Heir Nizra. So therefore, there's no problem of mimashkin Yisrael because it is actually motzi. Now, Tosfos, well, Tosfos brings up the point. The fact is, you still have an esse. You still have an esse involved, even if you don't have a, even if you don't have a lois esse anymore, because you already have an esse ma'imaze. You still have an esse. Okay, Tosfos discusses that maybe the esse is not really enough to, maybe the esse is not really enough to prevent us from bringing it as a korban. It's still there. The fact is, okay, maybe there's to say, you could say, fine, it's still also to eat. It's not an esse, but that's not reason enough. That's not reason enough to prevent it from being brought as a korban. You have other mafarshim talk about different other angles on it, including I think Ravel Bafaldeshik, one of the bristers anyway, says that this is a classic gavra versus chesta thing. Before Hayim Midrash, the chesta of Kodesh is also tea. Now after Nefakama, after the sun rises, there's only an issur gavra on it. Here we're talking the mashke Yisrael, the object, the chesta, the mutati. Very well, the chesta is mutati. You, as a gavra, have an issur to eat it until the omer is actually brought. But that's not enough. You're not supposed to eat it until the omer is brought, but it itself is mutati. So that's good enough for us to be able to be mashke with the koyim. The shirayim, sure, the koyim should be waiting until the esse is gone also, until the issur gavra is gone, until an actual kosher omer is brought. So they shouldn't be in a hurry to eat the shirayim. But the koyim itself can be brought on that day. Okay. So that's it. So that gives us an answer. Well, we're not done yet, but that gives us an answer for what the Shlokish is saying. Why is he saying the first korban omer, you're able to be mocked with that koyim? Because essentially, as soon as it was daylight already, you were like, that koyim is essentially mutati. Okay, so I want to point out, this that Rish Lakish is saying, he didn't say it explicitly, that we quoted Rish Lakish is saying, Hey, Mizrach Matu, that as soon as it gets light in the east, you're allowed to eat Chodesh. He didn't say that explicitly. Elami Klola Yitzmar. We deduced it from something that he said. And Gemara will do that a lot of times. The Gemara a lot of times will point out that even though we attribute a certain opinion and sometimes even a certain wording of that opinion or a certain tanner or a certain amarta, he didn't say it in so many words, we infer it from what he said. Right. It's not, namely like this. We learn in a Mishnah later on in the Sefer, in the sixth Perek, when we talk about all the din of Chodesh, Ein Mavien Minchas Bikorim, it's actually supposed to be really Mincha Ubikorim, you're not allowed to bring a Mincha, a Korban Mincha, or Bikorim, or minchas behema, or minchas bikorim. It's a printer's mistake. It's supposed to say menachos ubikorim. It says on the side of it here, when it's called kodshim, the shukim kodesh, it also says that, yeah. Okay. The end of the menachos ubikorim, or minchas behema, korim lawyer, you're not allowed to bring a mincha, freestanding mincha, or bikorim, from the shivat haminim, or the mincha that goes along with an animal korban. All of those you're not allowed to bring from the New Year's crop Kodim La'omer before the Kodim La'omer is brought on the 16th of Nisan. And again, we have a parenthesis over here that somebody wrote as a marginal note on their Gemara, the Ve'inim Mimashki Yisrael, because again, you have the issue of Mimashki Yisrael, that a Kodim has to be something that's edible by a Yid. The Inhedi Potsel, if you did bring a Mincha of any kind, if you did bring a Mincha or Bikurim of any kind from the New Year's crop before the Omer was brought, possible, then it's possible. On the other hand, Kodim L'Shtei Alechem L'Yavi, you're not supposed to bring from Chodesh before the Shtei Alechem are brought on Shavuot. Mishum Di'ikru Bikurim, because the Shtei Alechem themselves are called Bikurim. The Inhedi Kosher, but if you did, then it's Kosher. As we'll learn later on again. It's only with before the Korban HaOmer that it would be possible. Like this, it's supposed to be the Korban HaOmer is supposed to be the first grain Korban that is brought from the New Year's grain. However, it comes from barley. Then you have, on Shavuot, you have the Shtei Alechem, that is supposed to be the first Korban that's brought from that year's wheat crop. So like this, from that year's crop of wheat. So like this, you're not supposed to be bringing Menachos from this year's wheat before Shavuot. Because like this, the Shtei Alechem themselves are supposed to be the Minchas Bikurim of Shavuot. But if you did, it's kosher because it was after the Omer. But if you were to bring them before the Omer, they'd be possible.
Well, what about
So you're allowed to. Once the Omer is brought, you're allowed to eat any of the Chamesh HaKaminim. It's only as far as bringing them as a korban that you're supposed to wait till Shavuot. Okay. Omer of Yitzchak Omer of Shlokish. Now, in the case of Bikurim, primarily we're talking about wheat and barley. I mean, really, the normal time for bringing Bikurim is only from Shavuot and onward anyway. But yeah. Okay. The Omer of Yitzchak, Omer of Shlokish, Loishonu Elaba Ba Asur Vachamisha Asur. This that was saying that if you were to bring a mincha from Chodesh, and that before the Omer is brought, that it would be possible, is only if you brought it, for example, on the 14th or the 15th of Nisan, sometime on one of the days before the Korban Omer is brought. Remember, the Korban Omer is brought on the 15th. Aval b'shisha also, but if you brought a mincha on the 16th itself, before they had a chance to bring the Omer, imhei be kosher. If you brought it, then b'diyamet is kosher. No. The Omer is brought on the second day Pesach. For us Chutznik, the second day Pesach is still Yom Tov. In Eretz Yisrael, which is where the Beit Mikdash is located, you only have one day Yom Tov at the beginning of Pesach. Kes Zayin Nissan is the first day Chol Hamoed. You can be bringing whatever korban if you want during Chol Hamoed. So you could conceivably have, so it says Rish Lakish, you could conceivably, Rabbi Yitzchak is saying in the name of Rish Lakish, you could conceivably have somebody shows up first thing in the morning on Kes Zayin Nissan, the first day of Chol Hamoed, with a mincha from this year's new grain. And we're saying you shouldn't be bringing it before the Korban Mincha, but b'dieved if you did it before the Omer, but if you did it with kosher, Alma, because of the day. Alma kasaba heyer amizrach matu. That proves. Well, ideally, right, you're not really supposed to be doing it before the Shea Lakham, but like this, you did it even before the Omer. But because it was on the same day, Alma kasaba heyer amizrach matu, which goes to show, therefore, that Rish Lakish holds that as soon as it becomes daylight on the 16th, then already Chodesh is Mutter. Therefore, you don't have an issue of Mimashke Yisrael. Therefore, it's Kosher. So it's not stated, but it's inferred. Now, the problem with that is, the Shitim Mukabesa says, what about, on Amud Aleph, we were discussing the idea, Eim Mechutz Man Lebovayim, why can't we understand that Rish Lakish is saying that it's Mutter on those grounds, because later that day, the Omer is going to be brought, and yeah.
Not
Heir Mizrach, but rather Eim Mechutz Man Lebovayim. So the Shittim of Kabbalah leaves it as a question. The Shittim of Kabbalah actually says, okay, the reason must be because since we schlugged up before the idea of Ein Machosis Man LeBerbiyim, then we're left with the only choice to say that he's saying because there's other explanations. Chayk Nosan gives another explanation, which is that the way that Rish Lakish is saying it is that if you were to bring it as kosher, implies you're even allowed to eat the shirayim. Right there on the spot, the Kohen would be allowed to eat the Shirayim. In other words, they don't even have to wait for the Omer. Why would that be? Because, hey, it's Mizrach Matzah. If we were to say, it's because Ein Mechutz Man LeBerbiyim, they would have to wait, like we said before. Yeah. Okay. All right. So far we have two opinions on the question of the Omer that was brought Shalom L'Shma. We had Rav saying it's possible. We had Rish Lakish saying it's kosher, but you need another mincha for Omer. Now we have opinion number three. The Rav Amar, Mincha Ta'omer Shakamsa Shalom L'Shma Ksheira. No, if you took the Kremis from the Mincha Ta'omer Shalom L'Shma Ksheira, the Korban is 100% kosher, and Ushiyodeh Ne'echolam, the Kohenim can even eat the Shirayim, the Eina Tzricha Mincha Ta'omer Acheres Lahadira. You do not need another Mincha Ta'omer in order to make it kosher. Why is that? Why should Shalom L'Shma not be effective by the Mincha Ta'omer? He says, She'ein Machshava Me'elas, Elab Mishan Roy La'avoda, because the whole concept of Machshava, tackling a carbon, only applies if it was B'mishan Roy La'avoda, only if the Machshava was done by somebody who's capable of doing the avoda, who's suitable to do the avoda. A Kohen who's not a Baal Mum, and not any of the other children, right? And we're going to say in a second what he comes to exclude with each of the expressions. Over Dover HaRoy LaAvoda, it has to be using an object which is usable for Avoda. Over Makam HaRoy LaAvoda, it has to be in a place that is suitable for the Avoda. So what do you mean by that? Venisha Roy LaAvoda means Akoki Kohen Baal Mum. As opposed to a Kohen Baal Mum, if he were to have a Machshava on a Kohen, it wouldn't pass for it. Because he's not suitable, he's not capable of doing the Avoda. So his machshava doesn't mean anything. What does he mean with dover haroi la'avoda? That's why we're bringing this in. Apuki mincha ta'omer, as opposed to the mincha ta'omer, the lechazia. Now, what is the mincha ta'omer made out of? It's made out of barley flour. That's not suitable for any other korban. The lechazia, it's not suitable really for a korban. The chiddush, it's actually a chiddush. In fact, Rashi actually says, really, what it is, in other words, it's only suitable for this one for this one avoda. There's no other korban that consists of barley flour. Actually, Rashi says, what about the mincha sota? But actually, the difference is, the mincha sota is made out of lower quality barley flour. It's made out of kemach. As opposed to, the mincha sota is made out of geres, which is higher quality flour, the equivalent of solos with wheat. So geres of barley. There's no other korban that this is used for.
Only
the minchas ha'omer. Therefore machshava doesn't. Therefore machshava doesn't pass it. Because that's what he's saying. Machshava only passes by when the person who has the machshava is capable of doing the avodah. When the object itself is something that could be used for other avodah.
So
in other words, that's the point. If it was a regular mincha which is made out of wheat, fine. That same wheat could have been used to make some other kind of mincha. Therefore, machshava applies there. But over here, when we're talking about barley, which is used for the mincha ta'omer, yeah, it's
only barley.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of like
rubber. In fact, actually, Tosfos actually goes even a little further. Tosfos says that actually what it is the reason why we're calling minchas ha'omer dovah shein roi la'avoda is because we're just saying you're not allowed to bring any korban of kadosh before the omer. Therefore, in effect, the omer itself is not a dovah roi la'avoda. The only thing that makes it kosher is the fact that it itself is the omer. So therefore, in a certain sense, it's like it itself is not roi for avoda because it's still kadosh. So therefore, until it's actually offered on the day. So therefore, machshava can't pass it. That's our choice. Yeah. And then, what do we mean when Rava says that only in a place which is suitable for the avoda is the machshava castle? He means la'apukin nifkam ha'mizbeach. He means as opposed to if the mizbeach got damaged, where we learned in the zvachim that then korbanos can't be offered as long as the mizbeach is damaged. So then, let's say, for example, he would have a machshava that normally would make a korban, let's say a mincha, Rashi says. He would do kmitza, having in mind a thought that would make it pivel. It doesn't become pivel because the mizbeach itself is damaged. You can't bring the mincha. If later that day the mizbeach is fixed, then fine, the mincha is still kosher and you can go ahead and offer it. The pivel thought won't have been able to take effect because at the time it wasn't a makam haroi la'avoda. It wasn't a place that's suitable for that avoda because at the time of that machshava, it wasn't a valid place to come on. Okay. So those are three opinions about the minchas ha'omer. Is it, if it's shaloi l'shma, Rav that it's posel, Rish Lakish that it's kosher but you need another one, and Rava that it's kosher and you don't need another one.
Yeah.
The halacha is like Rava. Well, you were talking about the omer, but yeah, the omer, yeah, pashtus that we do it as early as possible in the morning, but yeah. Well, I mean, you have the whole thing involving the harvesting of it that they did the night before. We'll learn about in the sixth paragraph. We'll learn about the whole to-do they made about that. So the bringing of the korban itself was pretty much like any other korban in that sense. Okay. All right.
So
the third opinion, Rava's opinion, is halacha. Yeah, halacha kavastroi. Halacha is usually like the later opinion. Okay. All right. New topic. Tanan Rabbanan. We learned in a Braisa. Now, the reason why we're bringing in this topic is because eventually this is going to tie back in to this business about the minchas ha'omer that we were discussing. So, to omer min abakor l'masa. Now, it's like the Torah starts off at the beginning of Parashat Vayikra. It says that odem tiyachar nekayu karim l'ashem min abehema min abakor min asoim takuv v'et korbanchem. And we learn, the Gemara mentions in a few places in Chas, we learned about it in Zvachim, among others, that each of those mins is meant to be a mute. It's Mayit Rebeya and Nirba, it's Mayit Mukhta and Neva, it's a number of cases where an animal is possible for a person. Then the next possible continues, Im Ola Korbanin Min Hambakar, if he wants to bring his Ola as a korban from the cattle, then Zachar Tamriyaki, then he brings it as a Zachar, etc. So the question is, why does it need to repeat again Min Hambakar?
Because there's no
means, how would the Zachar say? Then the Torah just said, Om Siyakim Hashem, Behema Bakar of a son. I said, Mina Behema means not every Behema. Mina Bakr, not every Bakr. Or Mina Sain, not every Sain. Only if they meet certain criteria. And now, when it starts in Pasuk Gimel, when it says, Im Ola Korbanin Min HaBakr, so what is that extra Min HaBakr coming to add? Or takeaway, rather. She'en Tamabloima, it shouldn't have had to say it, because it said Min HaBakr already in the previous Pasuk. Ela Lahotia Fatshreka. The reason why it has to say Min HaBakr is to teach us that an animal that's a Shreka cannot be brought to the curtain. So this is what we're going to see later. This is going to tie back into this Mimashi throw business that we were talking about before. So a shreifa is possible to curse. Now, you would ask, why do we need a possible for it? Baloi dinhu. Can't you figure it out using a kabbal cleaner? Uma balmum shemucheres lehedyet asilu lagavaya. Madach balmum, which is mutter for a hedyet, an ordinary person can check it and eat it. But it's asura lagaboya, but it's also to bring out a korban Hashem. Trefa shasura la'ed, yes, an animal which is a trefa, where even a regular person is not allowed to eat it. Any nadin shasura lagaboya, how much more so it should be also as a korban. So why do we need, if a baal mumin's possible as a korban, how much more so a trefa should be? So why do we need mina bakar to tell us that? The answer is no. Chelav adam yechis. No, because you can prove to the contrary when you consider chelav and you consider blood. Shasir on the head to return like a bayah. Because that's all. Those things are also for a head to see, but they're mostly to bring on the mizbeah. So therefore, it's not always a general rule that anything that's also for a head to eat is automatically also for a carb. Okay. So we should argue back. Well, the fact is, we see that chelav and dam are also for a head to mutter like a bayah. So that slugs up. That's tabachonah. However, what do you mean? How are you trying to prove? What kind of a proof is that? Caleb and Dam, they belonged to an animal that it itself was Muslim. But fine, when you shecht an animal, you're not allowed to eat the dam, you're not allowed to eat the caleb. But the animal as a whole is Muslim.
Yeah.
What are you comparing that to a trefa where the whole thing is Muslim? And therefore, the loy tehe mucharis the gavaya. So therefore, it shouldn't be mutter to bring out a carbon. So again, why do we need minhabakar? Why do we need the word minhabakar to tell us that's possible? The answer is malika tehe. Okay, I'll answer you back by proving from malika. Where you kill a bird with malika for a carbon. Shikula iser. There you have it. Really is author, as we said before. Malika really makes it nevela. And normally that makes it author. Basura la hegit, and a hegit is takan alaji. Anybody other than a Korean is not allowed to eat it, or Mucharis Lagavaya, but it's Mutter as a Korean. If the Malika was done properly, we're talking about. A Chakasoi. Only Korean can eat it, like any Chakasoi. A Yisrael is not allowed to eat it, and a Yisrael, in fact, would be over on the issue of the Veiler if he ate it. In fact, we learned in Zvachim, and we're going to learn again. I mentioned at one point in Zvachim, we're going to learn again, we're going to learn in the middle of Amasekta, in the Mem, we're going to learn that the Novi Yechezkel says, after he lists the various rules that apply to Koyanim, he mentions, Kol Mevelo Trefa, Mina Oifu, Mina Behema, Lo Yefo, Koyanim. So the question is, why does he need to say that? Nobody knows Yid is allowed to eat Mevelo Trefa. And the answer is, because since we see in this case, that Koyanim is allowed to eat Mevelo, you would think maybe the whole concept of Mevelo doesn't apply to Koyanim. Therefore, Yechezkel needs to stress, no, it applies to Koyanim just like it applies to anybody. Except in this, but it is. No, but it is Mevelo. It's just Mevelo that the Torah was master. That's what we said on Omar Aleph. We said on Amar Aleph that Oifus is an example. We have a case where something normally is mutter, but when it comes to kachim, the Torah is master. That's it. Okay, so anyway, so you see that Malika normally would be also. So we see, yes, that's right. So therefore, so the same thing. So just like Malika is also, but it's mutter in the case of kachim, you could have thought a shrefer is also for a person to eat, but it's mutter for kachim. Maybe that's why we need minabakar, to tell us not. Okay, but you could answer that. Malam Malika Shaken Kudushota Isarja. Okay, but you can answer that. Malika is something special because the very fact that it's Kodshim is what makes it, the very fact that makes it into Kodshim, when you do the Malika, that's what makes it now a Kurban. And that's what, and you're saying that itself makes it also to a Hedyat and Mutter and Mutter the Gavaya. The Trefa is not, the Kedusha has nothing to do with the Trefa. They're two different things, not related to each other. So we're back to why should we need a pasuk? We should have a logical proof. The logic is that what makes the thing kaddish is exactly the same thing that makes it also to a hedyot. The same moment that you do malika, it becomes a korban and it becomes suitable to go on the mizbeach. At that moment, it also becomes also a hedyot. Whereas the animal that was trefa was also to the hedyot beforehand. Yes. So therefore, there's no comparison. So you should say logically, therefore, that a trefa should be also. Yeah, that's a shechet. That's a shechet with a knife. Well, that's true also. It would make it possible with a carbon. That's neither here nor there. The point is that if a person were to do malika on a regular bird, it would be shechet. Yeah, it would be nevela, yeah. Masha'enkin the trefa, she'enkin the shosa isarta, as opposed to a trefa. The trefa existed before it became Kaddish. One, the trefa and the Kaddusha have nothing to do with each other. So therefore, again, we should be back to saying, logically therefore, a trefa should be also to go on the mizbeach, and you don't need a process to tell us.
And that is before.
No, that's, yeah, exactly. The in heshavta, so continues the braisa, So the inheshata, so you might answer something back on that. You might say that nevertheless I have reason to argue that it should be mutter, and therefore, and we're going to see now the Gemara is going to discuss what might you answer. But therefore, finishing up the braisa first. True oimer mina bakar lamata. So that's why now when it says mina bakar in pasuk gimel, we didn't need to say it, since it already said mina bakar in pasuk beis. That is saying that lahoisi at treifa. Now we understand why you need that in order to exclude a treifa, because otherwise we would have had a reason to argue that to argue that it should be mutter as a curse. So now we have to say, well, that's we just said the braisa just said the inheshabta. The Braisa just used two words. You could argue to slug that up, but the Braisa didn't specify what the argument was. And now we have to figure ma'ime shabta. What do you mean? What could you answer back? What is there that you could answer back? This last argument that we said in the Braisa, that a shreifa is something that existed long before the kedusha, and therefore one has nothing to do with the other, as opposed to malika and the ister to a heavy, it happened at the same, and kedusha happened at the same moment. That's a very good point. So what does the braisa mean in his chapter that you could argue to the contrary? So now we have to figure out what is the possible argument to the contrary. Simin rapiach ma'ad al-shishe, this is a simin for the initials or the names of the various amiroyim who are going to bring arguments that the braisa is hinting at. So number one, Amar Rav, Mishum de'ikal ameimar, the reason is, because you could argue against that logic, you could argue as follows. Min chasa omer techiach. True from the case of the minchas ha'omer. Shas turum ahedya to umutaris lagavaya. Where, when the minchas ha'omer is offered, it's still offered to ahedya, because it's chadash, umutaris lagavaya, but it's mutter for a carbon. So you could argue by the same logic. Okay, so a shreifa was also beforehand, and now you're arguing that it should be able to be brought to the carbon. Fine, it should be no different than that. It should be possible. That's what we said. If you say in Mechuzet Man Lebev Yom, but we said in the end we didn't use it. No. Forget about the case of Shaloi Lishma. We're talking about just the fact that the Minchas HaOmer itself, when it's being offered, at the time when you're bringing it as a korban, it's not yet mutter to eat because Chodesh is still offered. So if we use the Shlokish's argument for Hey or Mizrach Matir, then fine. But if we therefore the Rav says yes. On the other hand, you could answer back, you know what, the Minchas HaOmer is special because it has, on the other hand, it has an advantage that as soon as it's offered, then Chodesh becomes Mutter, as opposed to a Treifa doesn't have any such advantage. You know, you don't have any particular advantage that would be brought about by bringing a Treifa as a carbon. Okay, but you could answer back with Shviyas. You could answer, okay, what about doing Shviyas? There's no Chodesh. What are you talking about? Even doing Shemitah. Fine, you're not harvesting your field, but you still have spichin. You still have produce that grows on its own, residue that from seeds that fell in previous years. And those you have to wait until the Omer to be master them. The answer is Kira Bakiva. The answer is we could say that this Braisa is following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, the Omer. So we'll stop over here, but Rabbi Akiva says that actually Tzichin have Kedusha Shviyas in the sense that, now like this we have the concept of beer when it comes to Shemitah, that once a certain type of produce is gone from the field, then you have to get rid of any of it from your house, you have to make a hefker. Rabbi Akiva holds that actually what happens is Tzichin become chayev in beer when the end of the sixth year produce of that type is gone. So let's say, for example, when it comes to grain, we're talking about it here. Grain is usually, when is it gone from the field, is sometimes cheshvin kislev time or thereabouts. So normally we would say, according to the Chachamim, we would say any tzvichim of wheat that grew during Shemitah, you can have them in your house the rest of Shemitah, so therefore they become mutter for you to eat come when the owner is brought during Shemitah. One second. That's according to the Chachamim. And then come the following year, cheshvin or kislev, you have to be master then. Rabbi Akiva would say, as soon as what's left over from the sixth year's tzvichim is gone from the field. So therefore he would say that you set aside some grain for the omer, specifically for that purpose of the omer. Yeah. But he would hold, in other words, that there's no chodesh for the omer to be mastered at. So therefore, we're back to, therefore, we would say that there's no chadash in Matthew, because the only grain you can be eating at Pesach time of the seventh year, according to him, would be grain left over from the sixth year or earlier. Well, that you can't offer as Omer, true, but it's not chadash, more to the point, it's not chadash. The Omer is not being Matthew, it's more to already. So therefore, back to over here, then, so we could argue that in Shnitta, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Omer is not actually accomplishing anything as far as being Matir Chodesh, because there is no Chodesh Limatir. Yet we're saying that you're Matir with it, even though normally such grain is Osir, because it's Chodesh, and according to Rabbi Akiva, Osir is not with him. So there we have an example. We should argue by the same logic. You could argue a Shreifah could be brought to the carbon. Aye, there's no advantage to bringing a Shreifah. So what? In Shmita, there's no advantage to bringing the Omer either. You still bring it. Okay, we'll stop over here, and the discussion will be continued.